Good evening, welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Wednesday, May 19th, 2021, from 7:02. Would all please rise for Pledge of Allegiance? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you all. Please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Mr. Cologne?
Present.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Present.
Ms. Negron?
Present.
Mr. Reynolds?
Present.
Dr. Van Wert?
Present.
Mr. Waldron?
Present. We have 5 citations this evening for retiring employees of the city. The citations will be mailed to them. Employees are Don Klingel, Michael Becker, Brian Strasburger, Richard McKinney, and Nick Manessis. Thank you all for your service to the city. And prior to our public comment this evening, we will hear from the Lehigh Valley Regional Homeless Advisory Board about their recommendations regarding the homelessness strategy in the Lehigh Valley. Mark Ritter, the Executive Director of New Bethany Ministries, will begin the discussion this evening. Thank you all for joining us. Mr. Riddle, you have the floor.
Hi.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you all for what we consider to be a timely presentation. With us tonight are several members of the Regional Homeless Advisory Board, representing Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton, and then also all of Northampton and Lehigh counties. And we're actually going to have Elisa Barana, co-chair of what we call the RAB, kick it off. So go ahead, Elisa.
Great. Thank you so much for having us tonight. I'm Elisa Barata, and I am the Executive Director of Third Street Alliance for Women and Children, and I co-chair the Lehigh Valley Regional Homeless Advisory Board, along with Rob Nicolella. The advisory board is part of a 33-county effort to prevent and end homelessness in eastern Pennsylvania, and we represent the Lehigh Valley in that, and we work with federal funding to make this happen. So we wanted to come to you today to talk about the federal funding that is available through the American Rescue Plan and how we think it could best be used in the Lehigh Valley. So we're presenting some information tonight about Bethlehem. You will see in a couple later slides we make reference to Allentown, because when we did some initial research on this process, we got some developers to give us some financial numbers around properties. So we were using that as a benchmark, but we think they're adaptable across the entire Lehigh Valley, particularly in the urban areas. So, Mark, next slide. So basically, we're coming before you because we recognize that we can all do more to prevent and end homelessness. But homelessness is just one very visible symptom in a bigger issue related to housing. If we want to work to help our unsheltered neighbors, we have to talk about affordable housing and the supply of housing, because right now the lack of housing is creating a huge demand across the Lehigh Valley. Some of the issues are really impossible to tackle, but right now the rescue plan makes this an unprecedented opportunity for us to make real progress in preventing and ending homelessness. And so by investing American Rescue Plan funds that both cities and counties have available to them, we believe we can dramatically impact homelessness and housing instability while creating spillover effects for the entire region, the cities, and the suburban regions, and the rural regions of this region. So, next slide. The rescue plan, as I said, is really a game changer. It presents us with funding for emergency rental assistance for qualified households and housing vouchers. So you've been seeing this in Bethlehem, in Northampton County, really assisting landlords and tenants who are impacted by the eviction moratorium right now, and really stabilizing these households and keeping them from entering eviction. There's also homeless assistance dollars that help us develop affordable housing, and also could help us acquire non-congregate shelter that could be converted into permanent housing or used as emergency shelter. And in this money, we think is a special need for the Bethlehem Emergency Shelter System, and we really want to make sure that there is some specific focus in Bethlehem on that. There's also additional homeowner assistance for rural homeowners within the American Rescue Plan. There's funding for housing counseling and fair housing and for utility assistance for folks who are at risk of homelessness, and we've been utilizing that throughout Lehigh and Northampton counties. Next slide, So the Lehigh Valley RAB has done a lot of research on what's going on, and we use evidence-based practices around our work. Our goal is to be the best collaborative partner we can be with county and city officials in implementing plans to assist people who are at risk and experiencing homelessness. We are data informed. Because we have federal funding, we really have to gather a huge amount of statistics and actually keep information about our outcomes. So we follow HUD mandated standards of excellence, or best practices, and we follow the National Alliance to End Homelessness. So some of the examples of the work that we have done recently is develop a coordinated entry system that tracks performance within the system. And the coordinated entry system brings people who are experiencing homelessness into one door, one way to get access to homeless services throughout the Lehigh Valley. We have a diversion prevention and landlord engagement programs. We use a housing first model, which means people should get housing regardless of whatever issues they are facing, and then work with them to maintain and stabilize housing. And for folks who are really chronically homeless, we look at case management through street outreach, access to emergency shelter, and move them quickly into permanent supportive housing and rapid rehousing, and then move on strategies whenever available. And in that sort of orange box that you see on the side, the snapshot in Bethlehem for 2020, the most recent statistics we have, 131 households presented as homeless in Bethlehem. 301 households have received rental assistance, and otherwise they could have become homeless in the city of Bethlehem. And then finally, 49 people were counted on the day of the point in time count in January of 2020 as homeless in Bethlehem, and that is just one night. So those are the statistics about Bethlehem, and now I'm gonna move it on to Sherry Binder, who's gonna talk about our next slide.
Thanks, Lisa. Hi, everyone. My name is Sherry Rocca Binder, and I'm the Executive Director of Ripple Community Inc. in Allentown. So this slide just provides a little bit more information about Housing First and permanent housing or permanent supportive housing, which are phrases you'll hear throughout the rest of the presentation over the next slides. And the figure here illustrates why we are taking this approach and kind of proposing this housing first or permanent housing approach. So in the past, there has been an assumption, or we've kind of operated off out of an assumption that when a person or a family loses their housing or becomes homeless, they need to go through multiple steps to kind of regain that housing or earn back that housing. But there is a very large body of research now that shows that those steps actually just create fail points. So they kind of create opportunities for people to drop out, to fall out of the system that's meant to be supporting them down that path. And so what the research shows instead is that really our very best option is to provide permanent housing immediately and without condition to households that have lost their housing. And that may seem a bit counterintuitive, but again, what we've seen in the research and also in our work doing this day to day is that, that housing piece and that permanent housing piece really is the foundation for stability in all other areas of life. And that's why we want to focus on that as a first step. Can I go to the next slide, Mark? So in doing this work here in the Lehigh Valley, we're very fortunate to have the benefit of local data that we can work from. And what the data tells us are a few different things. So one thing we've learned is that really our biggest gap currently is in the area of rapid rehousing, which is that kind of short-term assistance and services that really help people obtain housing quickly, as quickly as possible after they've lost it. So we have a particular gap in that area, and that is particularly for households that maybe don't qualify for permanent supportive housing, which is often the best practice for people who need a little bit more intensive support to maintain their housing well. As Elisa mentioned, the lack of safe and affordable units is a fundamental challenge across all of our programs, across all of our municipalities, and across the region, really, particularly in our urban areas. We have a supply problem when it comes to having housing units that are available and accessible to the people that we work with. But there are a number of proven strategies that can really help us address these challenges, and that's the good news. So we'll talk more about blight remediation, kind of taking blighted properties and making them more useful again as housing, engaging with landlords to work with residents or tenants who may be considered higher risk typically, and then also things like increasing access to rapid rehousing and permanent housing vouchers.
So hi, again, I am Mark Riddle. I am the executive director for New Bethany Ministries. I live in West Bethlehem, and thanks once again. At this point in the presentation, we just have one or two more slides where we actually talk about our recommendations. So you've seen the data, you've heard our theory in terms of getting people into housing first and then wrapping around all of the services that they need. Now is the once in a generation opportunity to use American Rescue Plan funds to be able to actually end homelessness in the city of Bethlehem. So the first strategy is an emergency shelter strategy. So we do still need emergency shelter, and we should still invest in that. As you saw earlier, the Bethlehem Emergency Shelter has on average maybe 49 people per night. So if we had 131 people in the city of Bethlehem calling to say that they're homeless at this moment in time that they're calling, and 49 people are in the emergency shelter, we clearly have an issue where we need more emergency shelter spots. So one solution, in addition to supporting further strategies for BES, there's a very solid strategy here, is to use hotels. And this has been starting to be used across the country in various spots. We did this here in Bethlehem immediately after the pandemic last year. I think many of you will remember. And in fact, the strategy in Bethlehem to do this, where we placed in a transitional setting for 90 days, is exactly the same plan. It was to keep people safe from COVID, but New Bethany was also able to place a majority of the people into permanent housing as a result. So that's 19 people out of the 26 that we had in a local hotel, the Comfort Suites just down the street from us, that we could actually transition them into permanent housing during that 90-day stay. And that's 19 people who would have been homeless during the crisis as a result anyway. So actually, we think as we emerge from the crisis, this is a strategy that we can use. I would suggest having a variety of hotels, possibly even across the entire region, so that you're not putting the burden onto a single one. And again, to do this in concert with emergency sheltering solutions that we have in the valley. So the numbers, $200,000, we could provide 3,000 nights of safe, appropriate, sanitary emergency shelter. This includes case management services. If you want to add that up, if everyone spends 90 days, that's going to be 33 families placed into permanent housing following this solution. Okay, and then landlord engagement. So we're going to do a rapid rehousing strategy, as Sherry mentioned. That is part of the Housing First. Get people into homes, provide the case management, the rental assistance, wean off over a period of time so that you become safe and stable and inside of that permanent home. That can only successfully be done if you have partner property owners and partner landlords who are participating with you, who understand what it is that the organizations are doing, who are working with the clients. It's actually a really good deal to have case managers working along with tenants that you have in your building. So we are saying for $250,000, we can make safe, healthy housing accessible for at least 15 to 20 families per year. So I am at this point going to turn it over to Jessica Elliott.
Hi everyone, I'm Jessica Elliott, Executive Director at Habitat for Humanity of Lehigh Valley, and I'm going to speak to renovation of blighted properties and the renovation of large underutilized properties. So we all know that there's an increase in blighted properties across Lehigh Valley, and these properties can be renovated to provide safe, healthy, affordable housing for low-income families through PSH, RRH, and first-time homebuyer programs. The estimated cost per unit for renovation would be $85,000 and could be owned through a land bank and managed by nonprofits. So for $5 million, the city and its community partners could rehab 50 units of safe, healthy housing for vulnerable residents. As far as the several large abandoned or unutilized properties, in Allentown, there's a sample property near 13th Street. There are also similar properties in the city of Bethlehem that could be renovated into 15 one-bedroom apartments. Some of them could handle more individuals or couples as well. And the estimated cost of renovation would be about $1.7 million. So for $1.7 million, City of Bethlehem and its community partners could renovate 15 units of permanent, safe, healthy housing for vulnerable residents in Bethlehem and benefit the broader community by restoring nuisance properties. I'm going to pass it off to Rob, I believe.
Hi, my name is Rob Michelella. I'm the Executive Director of Catholic Charities and also co-chair of the Lehigh Valley RAB. I'm going to bring up the summary of what we're going to do. Next slide, Mark. Thank you. I'm going to summarize this presentation. The emergency shelter local motels and hotels. $200,000 could provide up to 3,000 nights of emergency shelter with case management. Landlord engagement, $250,000 would support at least 15 to 20 families a year. Renovation of blighted properties, $5 million to rehab 50 units of safe, healthy housing for the chronically homeless and other vulnerable residents. That's an average of $85,000 in renovation costs. And renovation of larger underutilized properties, $1.7 million for 15 renovated units. Next slide. All of Bethlehem benefits when we provide best practice solutions for our unsheltered neighbors. By leveraging American Rescue Plan funds to address these housing challenges, we can meet our current housing and shelter needs. We can provide housing stability for our unsheltered and unstably housed neighbors. Housing stability, as we note, affects physical, mental health, employment, educational stability, and improved academic achievement. Converting dilapidated properties into community assets. Strengthen our shared community by implementing housing solutions that are just, equitable, and sustainable. Bring about our change that will last for generations or more by focusing on long-term solutions. And all of you have this opportunity because of these funds, and we can start implementing these meaningful solutions today. Thank you very much. Are there any questions for us or the group?
Well, I wanted to say thank you for coming to us this evening, presenting this with us. This information obviously homelessness in Bethlehem, the Lehigh Valley, and throughout our country is something that has become a cause of concern more than it ever has been due to COVID and the challenges that's put on individuals and families and in local municipalities. So this is something that is close to every member of council's heart. We've had some conversations about affordable housing, and this is just a continuation of that topic. And with the money that is coming to the city in Bethlehem, I'm sure that we'll continue to have conversations about how we're going to spend that money. And this is something that's definitely on our radar. And I imagine that we will be continuing that conversation with you, as well as other nonprofit groups and organizations, where we can best use that money to help as many people as possible, especially the ones who need the most help. And this is clear that with the amount of money that we're getting, we can have a large impact on a lot of individuals and a lot of families that can really help stabilize those families as well as our community. And I would say, again, thank you for joining us this evening, and I'll turn it over to any other members of council if they have any questions or comments for you directly at this time. Is there any council members, Dr. Van Wert, and then Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Thank you. Thank you very much for that presentation. I did have a couple questions that come to mind when I think about our current status. And the one question is really where we are with the Bethlehem Emergency Shelters relocation. And we heard that the shelter itself was having a really difficult time finding an affordable piece of real estate that would function well for a shelter because of the pressure on the housing market in the South Side. And I see that was not part of one of the recommendations, was direct funding for the BES on the South Side. And I just wondered if you could comment on that. And then my second part of the question, and you can answer this however you want, is you had four strong recommendations there, and two of them were temporary, meaning rental stabilization for families and hotel use for homeless people. And those are great, but they're like kind of a one and done if we're just using the CARES Act money. The other two strategies were kind of longer term ways to address homelessness by actually creating more units. So I wondered kind of how you thought about which way to prioritize funds, ones that immediately take people off the street versus ones that actually build our housing stock up with permanent units. Thank you very much.
So this is Mark. I'm just going to mention just the first piece of that, Paige. Thank you. And thank you all so much for your time. So this, because it's a regional presentation, so when we did this for Allentown, we also didn't include the YMCA, which is the emergency shelter there. We're presuming that this is already an investment. So what we're saying is with the ARP funds, these are new opportunities. Now, there is a unique opportunity in Bethlehem because there might be a new project, but I see Bob Rapp on the line, and so I'm actually not the person to address that, but I'm not sure what Bob is prepared to share. Bob?
Yeah, so Bethlehem Emergency Shelter is in a tough position here and will be in the near future. As most of you know, we are under an extension of a contract with Christ Church, UCC, and they are in the they are exploring possibilities of what they're going to do with their facility. One would be to repurpose it. One would be to actually put it on the market and sell it. I'm not sure exactly where they're at today, but they hadn't been moving a lot on that due to COVID. However, that doesn't necessarily help us as a shelter, as we need a permanent location. Actually, when Mark and the others talk about stability, there's actually stability within a shelter too, for our folks, especially our chronically homeless folks. Paige, you spoke of having a tough time finding an affordable location. No, we are having a tough time finding a location, period, within the city. We've asked for help through your housing folks. We've been on the phone. We just had a meeting with the county with the possibility of relocating the shelter to a county location outside of the city. That's not going to help folks who deem it necessary to stay close to services within the city, but it would help the majority of the population if, in fact, that's the only place we can find a location. And so we've put the word out to developers, we've put the word out to real estate folks. Like I said, we've been talking with the city and the county, and we just can't find a location that's sizable enough. And BES actually wants to move a little forward in sponsoring some of those micro apartments. So that little stopgap measure that allows folks to move a little forward while waiting for the processes that the folks of the RHAB are talking about. And so we don't talk about affordable housing. We talk about entry-level housing. So these are folks who are getting less than $1,000 a year, some of are $1,000 a month, some of them who are on disability, some of them who do collect Social Security. They can't afford what we talk about as affordable housing. We need entry-level housing for the folks who are going to take the next step. Also, to include the RHAB in their rapid rehousing programs also. We need both. But we need a place to do that. Did that answer any of your questions, Paige?
It did. I really was looking for an update in how your needs fit in with our current funding possibilities, and you helped. Thank you very much, and I'm sorry that we're having such a tough time, and I hope that council can be available to you along with the administration to have more vigorous dialogues about this and how we can, you know, be of assistance. Thank you.
We had found a place on the south side of Bethlehem that would be very suitable and very productive in what we need to do, but we find that property in a receivership right now, and it seems to be we can't get to the right folks to be able to help sort that out to explore the possibilities, but we're working on it.
Thank you. Thanks for all that you do and everyone who gave this presentation. It's really important, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the presentation. It is timely, and I want to thank everyone who's part of the advisory board. I've attended meetings over the last 2 years, I guess, and I'm just in awe of all your efforts to try to help the homeless, people who are homeless, and to advocate for housing that's affordable. So some of the ideas I think are great, and I've actually had experience, like the case management piece. I totally see that is very critical when I was working in the county, and I think we need to do a lot more collaboration. I'm glad that Bob was talking to the county folks, because I think we do need greater collaboration between the cities and the counties. And I know there are departments and offices within the county, because when I was in the county, I actually was a rep payee for many folks who they would probably be homeless unless we were rep payees and we took care of their rent and their utilities, and it was the only way they could stay in the place. I think it's a win-win when we have the case management, because the landlord is assured of getting their rent, and also that the renters are going to follow the rules, and then the renters, the people have a place to win. So I think that's a really important component. One thing, I guess, is I think the big question is not only we need a homeless shelter, and I guess, Bob, one question I have for you is, so is the place on the south side still a possibility? I know there's some legal issues regarding ownership and whatnot, but is it still on the table as a possibility for a site?
That's how I view it at this point.
Okay. All right, great. So we definitely need to do something and get a shelter. And I know with the rescue plan money, I agree, it's definitely a great opportunity that we're going to have funding available and we can address this issue. I attended a couple webinars on the rescue plan about funds about 2 months ago, and there were more questions than answers, certainly, on how you can use this money. But in every webinar I attended, it was very clear and definite that we could use this money for a shelter for the homeless as well as affordable housing options. So I think that's a plus. And I know I've said it before, and I know we all agree that we're advocates here on council for those who are homeless and those who need housing, that, you know, we really want the city to do whatever we can to earmark funds toward those needs. Now, I guess what I will ask, and I don't know if this will go for you, to you, Mark, or whoever can answer, it looks about, you're estimating about $7.1 million to try to resolve some of the issues around housing. When you look at the different programs and costs that you outlined, if we have to prioritize, could you tell me how you would prioritize those different programs and things that we need to do to earmark the money towards?
Mark, I was going to say, certainly we think a huge priority is Bethlehem Emergency Shelter. We also think a huge issue is blighted properties and the rehabilitation of blighted properties, because that opens up the pipeline for moving people out of shelter into housing. So anything that we can do to create new units is really very important. And that's why the rescue fund, or the rescue plan money is so very important, because it moves us from sort of just focusing on getting shelter into moving people out of shelter into rapid rehousing. So that's what I would say. I think that the entire RAB would say invest in any opportunity to create new units or to bring blighted units back onto the market.
Great, thank you. And I guess I also wanted to ask you, I know some of the communities, like especially Allentown, are looking at the tiny homes option. What are your thoughts about that as an option?
So we're not in support of tiny homes because in the long term, there are not funding streams at the federal or state level that will pay for ongoing like support of tiny homes. They are not considered shelter, and they are not they're considered transitional housing. And the federal government has moved away from supporting transitional housing. So we are saying focus on blight remediation, focus on rapid rehousing, focus on housing vouchers that are permanent and rapid, not transitional.
Great.
I do want to throw in, the one that gets kind of lost in the mix is the landlord engagement. One of the things that the pandemic has definitely proven is that the landlords and the property owners are a group of individuals that were also suffering in this situation. And the landlord engagement program is something that will bolster that relationship. It's already been productive with the emergency rental assistance program that we're all involved with. So I just always want to keep that at the forefront, hence the four ideas. But I do agree with what Elisa was mentioning with regards to where we need to prioritize. But I always want to make sure that the landlords and the property owners are definitely thought of because of what we just experienced through the pandemic.
Great.
Great.
Thank you.
Because I'm here with the RHAB, I will not comment for the RHAB on the tiny homes. I would in fact like to come before City Council in the future to discuss tiny homes, but I would rather allow some time period so that maybe you folks can forget about what you've heard in Allentown, and then we'll readdress tiny homes in a way that BES sees feasible. Would that be appropriate?
Well, I would defer to our president on that one, Bob. I mean, I would certainly be in favor of presentation, but it would be up to you. Or we could also do it in a committee meeting.
That would be fine.
We can discuss, and I don't want to speak for the president, but
typically, if we have an agenda topic that deems a larger ongoing conversation, we can schedule a specific committee meeting where we can talk in length about certain details, whereas tonight we have a full council agenda meeting ahead of us. Getting into some of these details is a challenging ask right now, but I think if we were going to continue our conversation about some of the solutions ahead of us, including the potential for tiny homes, that would be something most appropriate for a committee meeting.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Crampton-Smith, do you have any other comments or questions?
No, I guess the only other comment I was going to say, I'll make it brief, is I like the idea of the blighted properties, because it just seems like in more and more of my day-by-day conversations with people in the community, the housing shortage is such an issue. Even talking to realtors in the last couple of weeks, how they're so frustrated because there is a lack of housing for people that want to move and buy. And I guess, you know, one of the big questions in my mind is how do we balance, because we're seeing an influx of folks moving in from out of the area who have an exorbitant amount of cash to pay above and beyond what the price is that people are asking for. And while we certainly want to be a welcoming community, I'm also concerned that then how do we balance that with assuring that those long-term residents of Bethlehem and their children and grandchildren are still going to be assured that they have housing in this community. So I guess that's just something I want to throw out there as, you know, food for thought, that it's in my mind a big concern. So again, thank you for the presentation.
Mr. Gallien, would you like to make a comment?
Yes, thank you. Mark, I just want to say thanks for your presentation tonight. And so, according to your presentation, it's $85,000 per unit to rehab and outfit.
Is that your question?
I saw in your presentation that it was $85,000 per unit to upgrade or.
That's right. So we sampled a couple properties, and they were in Allentown, as was mentioned in the presentation. So actually, I would be in favor of a next step to revise that using Bethlehem data. But that would be, you know, if the council was interested, and then we'd kind of work together to find what a good number is for Bethlehem.
Right. Is that including the uptick in the in the wood market? Because I mean, I'm in the process of.
That's a very recent number, so it does take any. I don't know what you're talking about, but I know that that was taken into account because we just received that like 2 weeks ago.
No, I appreciate it. And I would just again, and I've said this I think at the last like two or three meetings, that I know it's a large number, but if we're really serious about this issue, I would recommend and propose that we move $5 million or put aside $5 million from that federal stimulus money for the cities into the units. And I think you also said that the $5 million would cover 50 plus units. So I don't know where the rest of the council is on this, but I would recommend that and support it. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Any other questions, Mr. Kalan?
Thank you, Mr. Waldron. Thank you, everybody, for the presentation. Just a quick comment, then a quick question. I would be more than happy to dig into some of this information deeper and expand on some of these conversations at a committee meeting when we could have some broader conversations and more Bethlehem-specific conversations. In the meantime, is there any examples of, I know you looked at kind of best practices and you make recommendations, are there examples of other, whether it's counties or municipalities or organizations that you would say are tackling homelessness that are kind of those models to look at that we might be able to, until we have a chance to get together again, look at some examples of maybe a multi-unit blighted property that was renovated or something that I know, as we mentioned before, the game has changed now that the rescue plan money is coming down the pipe. But before this money was available to us, was there any examples you could give of something to look up that was really doing it the right kind of way?
So I think nationally there are a number of examples. What I would like to do rather than try and pull one right now is look from some of the best practices we have, look for a city that's about the size of Bethlehem and has some of the same sort of aging properties, and bring you a couple case studies around that, if that would make more sense, rather than just saying, here, look at this town. But I think we can find that for you and make sure we forward that to you guys.
Yeah, I would appreciate it just to kind of see some of the things that have already been going on as we look at best practices and who kind of laid the groundwork already for good models to follow. Thank you.
Mrs. Grom?
Thank you, President Waldron. Yes, I also want to tell you saying thank you for this presentation and for taking the time to organizing this. I really love the idea of the renovation of blighted properties. We have, you know, and I'm of course thinking of the South Side, but I know it's also in other areas of the city, not just in the South Side. But we have the city administrations in the past have done a great job revitalizing the communities, revitalizing the South Side. You know, work really hard to better the downtowns, and there's still eyesores, properties in between beautiful places. And you know, if we spend money in fixing these properties and turn them into such needed housing stock, I think that I will definitely like to put that money in there. I also agree with the landlord engagement. I saw it, you know, during the pandemic. I sent a lot of families to get the help, and because it includes the engages the landlord again, it becomes a better relationship. You know, they want to get the money, they want to get paid. So they are very, it's very helpful to have that, you know. So both of them have to do something about it. So I think that I like both of them. I'm really concerned about the emergency shelters. You know, I had experience, and you know, I talk about this very often because I work for a law firm with personal injury. So many of my clients end up homeless because they lose their job. You know, they get hurt at work doing, you know, in the warehouses that we have so many of, repetitive work, heavy work, get hurt. And the companies are not paying them worker compensation, so they are now with no money. Many of them lose their apartments, many of them lose their home. Right now I have so many that, you know, and I know that New Bethany had helped one of my clients actually with the housing, and with the he actually ended up with COVID, and it was hard, but you know, just getting help for a week for a few days. You know, it was great. The city actually paid for the time that he had COVID, and he had nowhere to go and was really sick. You know, that was very helpful. But transitioning, you know, having someone moving their stuff from one room to another, I deal with this every day, guys, and it's devastating. So I really hope that we can definitely put the money into the shelter, to have the permanent shelter. And Bob, I don't know if you have checked Holy Infancy Old School, which it will be a great place for us to do some, you know, oh my God, that would be a great place to have not just the counseling and everything in the one spot. I really hope that with this money we help you get that place, because that's really important. That's really important for our community. Thank you everybody for the presentation.
Any other comments? Thank you all for joining us this evening. I would anticipate that in the near future we will continue this conversation, and the potential for Community Economic Development Committee meeting seems appropriate upcoming. So thank you all for joining us. We'll continue on with our agenda this evening, moving to public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. We have two names previously signed up. I will call those names and then open it up to anyone else who would like to make comment. The number to reach us this evening to make comment is 610-997-7963. Our first speaker will be Jefferson Vitelli. This is Ramsey Smith. I don't need your microphone. Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council calling.
Yes?
Hello, I'm looking for Jefferson.
Here he is. Hey, Jefferson.
Hello.
Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Good evening, how are you?
Great. If you could give us your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments to council with a 5-minute time limit, please.
Okay.
And if you don't mind...
I'm watching you on...
Yeah, if you could read that in the background, that would be helpful. Thank you.
But you're about ready to begin the public.
At this point, I'm asking for you personally, sir, to give your comments to City Council.
Yes.
And if you could mute your microphone in the background, the computer, that, thank you.
Yep, I just turned it down so that it won't be audible. Okay, hello?
Hello, I'm just asking if you could give us your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments.
Yes, my name is Jefferson Vitelli from 910 Hess Street in South Bethlehem. And basically, I have been listening to the public comments last week, the May 11th meeting, and I was not prepared at that time to make any public comment myself, but I am at this point. I had written a letter to City Council and to Mayor Donchez, which I would like to make part of the public record. And so I thought perhaps the best way to proceed would just be for me to read that into the record. Hello?
Hello. We do have that letter in front of
us.
And
so you have received it?
Yes, we do. And if you are willing to do that, you may, but we do have a 5-minute time limit.
Yes.
If you have other speakers who'd like to continue.
Yeah, I don't think it'll take 5 minutes to read it. It's a fairly brief letter. Are you ready for it now?
Yes.
Okay. So it begins, Dear Mayor Donchez and Bethlehem City Council members, I am writing as a resident of Bethlehem South Side for more than 30 years to add my voice to those who oppose further gentrification of our neighborhoods represented by the proposed development of 60 and 90-foot buildings in the 3rd and New Street area. Driving across the Broome Street Bridge, I have always been enamored and proud of the working class history of the South Side, evidenced by the faces of the row homes, the 19th and early 20th century architecture, the gables of company housing where Lithuanians and Ukrainians, Poles, Italians, Puerto Ricans, and so many others came to Bethlehem to work the steel mills, and then the spires of the many churches that sprout from the lens, from the skyscraper, where all of those souls congregated to worship. Since the steel mills closed in 1997 and Southside has struggled to find its new identity, I have become increasingly dismayed at the intrusion of tall buildings that do not complement this historic architecture that so embodies the soul of the Southside, and the impact that this development has had on the demographics of the Southside. Many of the historically diverse communities have been displaced. The proposed development of expensive 60 to 90 foot buildings will drive out remaining low income working people and further marginalize already struggling communities. More than feet on the street, unquote, what Bethlehem, South Bethlehem needs is hearts in our hearts, unquote, souls attached to the soles of those feet. Consider one positive, conscientious development project. Recently, the developer of the Masonic Temple site at the south end of the old bridge decided to invest considerable effort and his own money to preserve the original chimney so that chimney swifts would be able to roost by the thousands on their spring and fall migration through the Lehigh Valley. Great credit goes to Mr. John Noble and the Save Our Swifts group that mobilized support for this preservation. And thanks to Bethlehem City Council for their decision to name the chimney swift as the official bird of Bethlehem. This is truly an example of considering the housing needs of all of our residents in the developing planning. So here is my challenge for developers. Why doesn't someone with money to invest put a new roof on the old Bethlehem Steel Machine Shop, currently an eyesore, visible as one comes down Hay Street to 3rd Street, but in its heyday, it was the largest machine shop in the world, a historic landmark, a symbol of our history, well worth preserving, well worth developing, a huge community center, a marketplace, a shelter for the homeless, a museum of industrial history. I urge you not to approve the proposed proposals to demolish existing structures on the south side and replace them with 60 to 90 foot buildings. Thank you for your consideration in the service of our community. Sincerely, Jefferson Vitale.
Thank you for your comments. Have a good evening.
Okay, thank you.
Our next speaker will be Mary Toulouse.
Mary is not available.
At this point, we'll open up the line to anyone else who'd like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. The number to reach City Council is 610-997-7963. We'll accept comment on any subject not being voted on this evening, as well as any agenda item on tonight's agenda. If anyone like to make comment to City Council, now is the time to call, 610-997-7963. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, this is Mary Toulouse calling. I don't know why my phone said I wasn't here, because I was. can I speak now?
Yes, you may.
Okay, great. So my name is Mary Toulouse. I live at 1528 West North Street. And I'm calling tonight as the co-manager of the Rose Garden Farmers Market. And I'm doing so to give you an update on the farmers market, because you'll be voting on it, permit this evening. It has been 6 years since you first authorized this market in the public Rose Garden Park. And I'd like to report that it has been growing this year. I have about 2 dozen residents and community tables. First time it will truly be a full service market offering meat, dairy, baked goods, and a variety of specialty products. And just to give you a few highlights, according to a survey from Buy Fresh, Buy Local, 76% of our shoppers are regulars and come every week or multiple times per month. Conclusion, the market seems to serve as a regular source of fresh local produce for the community. Also, according to the survey, 48% of our shoppers say they spend money at other local businesses when they visit the market, an indication that this market is playing an important role in supporting the West Side Business District. The market serves as a catalyst to a neighborhood activity over the last few years and has been a contributing factor in the redevelopment of the park, Central Park, for all Bethlehem's residents. You may not know that we received a 2020 Lehigh County Tourism Grant this last year, thanks to the market's activity. And we will celebrate our first Rose Fest on June 26th. And I hope you will all join us. MANA, the market sponsor, is a nonprofit organization. All money we get from the market fees go back into the market. For example, each year, the market sponsors at least one new business vendor or startup farmer to come to the market. We assume they'll keep. This year we have two new produce vendors coming to the market. We've also been working with the Westside Moravian Church to set up a licensed, affordable commissariat for new vendors who would like to sell prepared food so that they can meet the health department requirements. Someone can't just sell what he or she is cooking in their own kitchen at a public market. The cook is a major cooking for new vendors. And there is not, I believe, there is not one in the city of Bethlehem. The city will now be closing the Raspberry Street Alley adjacent to the park. This is a wonderful thing, and we are especially grateful for it. To make a safe space for food trucks. Food trucks are a necessity for our market, where people come to stay and picnic in the park, as well as buy food for the week. Normally there would be a $2,000 charge for the permit to have a food truck in the street. This charge would have crippled our outreach program. In conclusion, I cannot stress enough how important it is for the city to continue to take an active role in support of the farmers markets. Allentown and Easton seem to have done this a bit earlier. In fact, there are many new white papers on food policy indicating that the food and nutrition security in cities with growing urban populations, like that of Bethlehem and all its new development, this security cannot be taken for granted. The Stone Barn Center for Food and Agriculture, a nonprofit run by the Rockefeller Foundation, recently did a highly publicized survey of small independent farmers in the Northeast. The survey indicates that 30 to 40% of local farmers, our farmers, will not survive in coming years without intervention. These small independent farmers, they are the ones who are behind the Eat Healthy, Eat Local, Farm to Table movement. I personally know three of these farmers, and one of them's last name is Rodale. I thank you for your vote later tonight on the Rose Garden, and I hope you'll continue to add support to the markets as part of the development of a strong public food policy in Bethlehem. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. City Council is accepting comments 610-997-7963 on any subject on tonight's agenda, as well as any additional subject to make comment with a 5-minute time limit. This will be our last opportunity for public comment this evening at 610-997-7963. Communication 6A.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Ocean Construction LLC for construction of 26 ADA accessible curb ramps. The term is 90 days. The cost is $153,084, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with New Enterprise Stone and Lime Inc. for street overlays and curb ramps. The term is 120 days and the total cost is $740,450, broken down by street sections described in the contract approval request. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with R3 Construction Inc. for the Hecktown Road water main relocation. The contract runs through November 30th, 2021, and the cost is $594,200. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Kleinfelder, Inc. for wastewater treatment plant regulatory consulting services. The contract runs through December 31st, 2022, and the cost is $50,000. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Resolution 6E.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William P. Leeson with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Arts Quest and the event is the Levitt Summer Concert Series. The agreement covers dates from June 2nd through October 31st, 2021. As specified in the agreement, the covered premises is First Street from Founders Way to the beginning of the parking lot at 650 East First Street.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Resolution 6F.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William Leeson with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Community Action Development Corporation of Bethlehem, and the event is the Greenway Farmers Market. The agreement covers dates from June 9th through October 13th, 2021, as specified in the agreement. The covered premises is Greenway from Taylor Street to Pierce Street.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William Leeson with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Mount Airy Neighborhood Association and the sub-permittee is Colony Meadery LLC. The event is the Rose Garden Farmers Market and the agreement covers every Saturday from June 5th through October 16th, 2021. The premises is the Bethlehem Rose Garden.
Resolution 10G is on the agenda, Communication 6H.
Memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with B&F Petroleum Installation, Inc. for underground storage tank replacement at the municipal garage. The cost is $345,249. The estimated completion date is May 27, 2021, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10H is on the agenda. Reports? I have no reports this evening. I understand there's no reports from the mayor's office, and I'll turn to Dr. Van Wert for a report.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Community Development Committee met on Tuesday, May 11th, 2021 at 6 o'clock. The committee considered the following agenda items. Number one, the committee reviewed an administration proposed bill amending Article 1713 related to the composition of the Historical Architectural Review Board. The committee voted to recommend approval of the bill and referred it to full council for consideration at a future council meeting. Number two, the committee also reviewed the South Bethlehem Historic District Planning Study. The discussion was for informational purposes only and no votes were taken.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Ordinances for final passage this evening. Ordinance 8A.
An ordinance amending Part 13 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, as amended, known as the Zoning Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, by amending the city's zoning map in connection with 1843 West Broad Street and 1852 West Market Street. Bill 15-2021 is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. That's a 7-0. We have no new ordinances on tonight's agenda. Resolutions, Resolution 10A.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Ocean Construction LLC for construction of 26 ADA curb ramps. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, would please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with New Enterprise Stone and Lime Company, Inc. for street overlays and curb ramps. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. That's a 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with R3 Construction, Inc. for the Hecktown Road Water Main relocation. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Kleinfelder, Inc. for wastewater treatment plant regulatory consulting services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Crancy Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. That's a 7-0. Resolution 10E.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the Levitt Summer Concert Series. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10F.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller under such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Community Action Development Corporation of Bethlehem for the Greenway Farmers Market. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Crampsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. That's a 7-0. Resolution 10G.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Mount Airy Neighborhood Association and the Colony Meadery for the Bethlehem Rose Gardens Farmers Market. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10H.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with B&F Petroleum Installation, Inc. for underground storage tank replacement at the Municipal Garage. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Thank you. Mr. Alcohol, if you don't mind kind of talking us through this, I see that there was an original contract price of almost $300,000 and then two change orders, which the description here is understandable. The thing that jumps out to me is that May 27th completion date, which is, you know, essentially a week away. If you could just kind of run us through that timeline, please.
You mean what the current anticipated completion date is to confirm that we're going to be completely done with the project?
Well, it seems as if we're approving funds for a change order and the work may have already been done.
The pumps are going to be operational Monday, so the work has been done, but it's there was no question as to the need or necessity of the work, and I guess the project manager did not put that forward before council. Before the work was executed.
Understood. I just hope that we don't get in the habit of having work completed and then after the fact coming to council saying, here's the invoice for the work that we've already completed. Obviously, this is going to pass because it needs to, and it's the right thing that needs to happen. I just want to make sure that those checks are there to make sure that the process is being followed consistently.
Yeah, we obviously understand that, Mr. Waldron, and we appreciate your consideration, and we will strive to make every effort to prevent these things from occurring. Unfortunately, on this particular project, it has encountered some delays because of the pandemic. That's not making excuses, but the bottom line is we apologize for it, and we will try to make every effort to prevent it from recurring in the future.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Alfon. I appreciate it. Any other discussion on Resolution 10H? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-I.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance are hereby granted for 125-127 West 4th Street to renovate the front facade. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving to new business. First of all, I'd just like to say congratulations to all the candidates in the city who won election last evening. It's great to see the system working under the challenges of COVID with all the mail-in votes. It's refreshing to see something kind of play out as far as the process of voting and all that tabulation. So that thank you also extends to both Lehigh and Northampton County election offices as well. So congratulations to all those candidates who were successful last evening. Is there any other new business for members of council? Dr. Van Wert?
Thank you. I just wanted to comment on a really interesting handout that we were given in this week's packet from the Department of Public Works from Mr. Alcohol. And it's kind of a walkthrough status update on all the different projects that the city is, and I don't know if it's all, but I'm assuming it's most public works that the city is involved with. And I have two questions for Mr. Alcohol, and you may not be able to answer the first one, but this is, I think, a really informative piece of information for the city taxpayers. And I'm wondering, are they able to access this through the open data port, or how do they get their hands on this same document?
Currently, that's not made available. We can certainly consider that. We mainly develop the quarterly status report. Yes, it includes just about every significant project for the department, as well as any projects that the department is doing for any other department in the city. The main genesis of this status report is to ensure that each assigned project manager is moving projects forward, and this prompts them on a quarterly basis to provide updates, and I find that to be a tool that advances projects and tries to the extent possible avoid unnecessary delays and make sure we're making progress. I will look into whether or not there be any issue whatsoever in making it available and report back, as well as if there isn't any issue, we can try to make it available.
Please, I do think it's important that the taxpayers have trust and knowledge, and the only way they can do that is if they can have access to the data. So I would really welcome your insights into how to make this available to our citizens. And then I have a specific question. It's about the Monocacy Way Trail improvements, and this may be more specific to Ms. Carner, but this is a $286,000 grant from DCNR for upgrades to Monocacy Way. And I just, there's a part of it, the whole project is very interesting for us. But the part of it that I'm specifically interested in also is the wetlands delineation. And it says that the wetlands delineation has been completed. And we've had a lot of discussion lately about Martin Tower and its proximity to Monocacy, which is a protected watershed in Pennsylvania. And I was just wondering if we could get this information of what the wetlands delineation for Monocacy Creek is.
So I'm going to defer to Mr. Alcohol. That was managed out of the Department of Public Works with a consultant that we hired specifically to help us with the permitting process. So, Mike, I'm not sure if you have any information that you can discuss now.
Yeah, we can certainly provide the wetland delineation that was completed to council or whoever is interested in it. That's not a problem.
Thank you. And then finally, the last step here is You've received the NPDES permit and are preparing to go to bid. I was wondering if you have a time frame for when that RFP is going to go out.
We're hoping to have it go out in the next month or two.
Okay, is there a way that we can see what it looks like, the RFP?
Yes, I mean, before we go out to bid, we can provide it, yes.
I'm not asking for approval, I just would like to be able to see what it looks like.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all the questions that I had. Again, this is a really informative document, and I'm glad you put it together for us. Thank you.
Sure.
Is there any other new business from members of council? Mr. Callahan?
Mr. Alcohol, are you still there?
Yes.
I've been doing some research on the tower site as far as the water runoff. I just got one quick question. When people come in to build inside of our city, are they following the EPA federal guidelines, or are they following the DEP guidelines, or the DEP guidelines are based off the EPA federal guidelines?
Yeah, the permits are administered by the DEP on behalf of the federal government. So they apply to DEP, DEP approves the permit, reviews and approves the permit. And of course, we have our own internal reviews of stormwater issues, both for quantity as well as quality for our ordinances.
Good. I'm just curious because, in the coming weeks, we have a big decision to make as far as the tower site. Has the developers at the tower site have they met all of the guidelines by the EPA and the DEP?
I don't believe that process has been completed. There hasn't been the detailed reviews nor the submittal of the necessary plans to allow for that to be done yet.
When does that get done?
When there's official detailed plans submitted to the city, then it gets circulated. At the same time, there'll be applications for the reference permit that you're discussing, and that's when the detailed reviews will take place to ensure that they comply with all the requirements, both city as well as those with the respective permits as part of the development of the site.
Great. Okay. I appreciate the information. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Negron?
Thank you, President Waldron. I do too want to say congratulations to everyone that won across the city and even the state. But I more than anything want to say thank you to everybody that went out and vote. I think that it is many times in primary election, especially in local primary election, people think that voting is not important, that they're just going to vote in general election. And I know all of you know that very well, that it is very, very important. So I want to say thank you for all the citizens of the city of Bethlehem that spoke up, that got out and placed a vote. I really, that's something that we just can't let go and let it finish. I'm very happy that I get to finish my tenure in council, and there's going to be a great group of individuals taking over. I'm very happy for that. And congratulations to you, to Councilman Reynolds, for your win in mayoral candidacy. Thank you.
Mr. Callahan?
Thank you. I want to congratulate everybody that won yesterday, and I hope the best for Mr. Reynolds or whoever wins the mayorship in November. And I just want to say that it's really been my honor to serve the citizens of Bethlehem, and I'm going to sit back and relax for a while and concentrate on my driving school test center. So I appreciate everybody that went out to vote yesterday. It's the greatest process in the world, and there isn't a better process in the world. Anybody wants to complain about the United States of America, we have a system that works. And do we have our faults? Yes, everybody does. And I think there's things that we can always look back on, but I have had a ball, being on council, and so I'm going to take a little break and And I just want to thank all the voters that that participated in the process yesterday. Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us. Have a good evening. Take care.